While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
After his performance at their first home game after 9/11, the New York Yankees made a habit of featuring Irish tenor Ronan Tynan. Here he is at Game 4 of the 2001 World Series.
As we raise our voices.
And well after 2001, Ronan Tynan went on to make many appearances at Yankee Stadium, always singing God Bless America. On July 4th, on September 11th, at many playoff games. The last game at the old stadium and the first game in the new one. When the Pope visited. His performances were ubiquitous and unmistakable. They were occasions to be very proud or very embarrassed for your country. And they were always the same song, the same solemnity, always this one narrative, this one official accepted way to remember. For a decade and more afterwards, I can't imagine that I'm the only one stuck with years of accrued feelings about this. Earnest, proud Ronan Tynan was our periodic burden, helping in his own way to turn 9/11 into something strictly defined. Either a proud rallying call of patriotism and nationalism, we must never forget, or a bad punchline that was impossible to take seriously, never forget.
May your strength give us strength. May your faith give us faith. May your hope give us hope. May your love bring us love.
Ronan Tynan's career is so wrapped up with 9/11 that he even took to covering one of Bruce Springsteen's songs about the day from his 2002 album The Rising. And with two wars going on and a sports and patriotism and 9/11 all intertwined, Tynan branched out from stadiums and became a natural choice for high-profile patriotic events, performing for police at Ground Zero, at Rudy Giuliani's wedding, and at several events in front of the president, George H.W. Bush's birthday party, Ronald Reagan's state funeral in 2004,
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
But you know, the post 9/11 era wasn't all bad. Ronald Reagan died. Tynan sang at the presidential inaugural prayer service the morning after George Bush was reelected.
Thank you for coming. God bless the people of Ireland and the United States. And now I welcome Ronan Tynan.
And on St. Patrick's Day in 2007 at the White House.
Good morning, President Bush. This is Bush and Taoiseach. How are you? It's great to be here. This morning I'd like to sing two songs. The first song was written by a man called Ronan Hardiman. A wonderful song, and it's called Sing Me an Irish Song.
Oh, it's so hard to remember.
Welcome Welcome to Never Forget Radio, where, from the comfort of your own home or your device, and from the safety of the future, we can revisit the memory of 9/11, of George W. Bush, and of all the years associated with both sins. It's been over a decade of disappointment, failure, and disaster. I'm no expert, but I'll be your host as we explore our recent past and try to reclaim it. Let's roll. So a lot of people got really tired of ubiquitous, self-important, over-the-top, intensely patriotic Ronan Tynan. Until in late 2009, days after performing at Yankee Stadium in the first round of the playoffs, Tynan was accused of being anti-Semitic in the New York tabloids following an incident in his Manhattan apartment building. The Yankees, his former patrons, haven't featured him at any event since 2009, and in the face of intense criticism, he sold his Manhattan apartment and moved to Boston. And his national profile disappeared, and he just continued his career as an Irish tenor, but for all intents and purposes, Tynan had left the national spotlight, and his association with sports and tragedy was over.
Fans, please rise and remove your caps and join the Twins and Angels in observing a moment of silence to recognize those who lost their lives in the explosions earlier today in Boston. Our thoughts and prayers go out to their families and loved ones.
The Boston Marathon bombing was a two-phase national event, an unexpected terrorist attack, and then the surfacing of armed suspects, followed by a lengthy regional manhunt slash lockdown slash unprecedented use of police power. Sports ceremonies were one of the main ways that this event was defined and contextualized on a continuity with 9/11. Obviously, it occurred at a sports event, but it also occurred during the playoffs of both the NBA and the NHL, and so the Boston Celtics and Bruins held memorial events. And it happened right at the beginning of the baseball season, and the 2013 Red Sox came to be identified with the disaster and its aftermath in a similar manner and following the pattern and precedent set by the 2001 Mets and Yankees. The Red Sox adopted a slogan, Boston Strong, often rendered as Be Strong, with the B, the Red Sox logo, to commemorate the event and the response.
The first responders, the brave citizens, the resolute victims of these tragedies, they're all Boston Strong. And ultimately, that's what this team played for last season.
It's a particularly meaningless phrase because you can substitute any city for the same sentiment, as a fan group of the Pittsburgh Pirates did during their playoff run in late 2013, resulting in P-Strong. Also, the strength of the slogan seems to be related to Dunkin' Donuts, a corporate emblem of the Boston area which insisted on keeping some of its stores open in the greater region, forcing their minimum wage employees to report to work in a national crisis, to provide free coffee to the army of militarized policemen who were rampaging around the area.
But it was a drive to do more for the city, with the rallying symbol of Boston Strong mowed into the outfield and sewed into the uniforms.
As after 9/11, sports rivals staged moments of symbolic cross-regional support. Teams from other cities, including the Red Sox, had played New York-New York at their stadiums in 2001, and after the Boston bombings, teams from other cities, including the Yankees, played Sweet Caroline, which is associated with the Red Sox. But these regionalist supportive sentiments quickly became nationalist rallying cries. On September 21st, 2001, the Mets featured Liza Minnelli singing regional anthem New York, New York, and 4 days later, the Yankees had Ronan Tynan belt nationalist anthem God Bless America. Quickly, We Are All New Yorkers became United We Stand, and then You're Either With Us or Against Us. These expressions of solidarity are also exclusive and exclusionary. However inclusive these sports slogans and ceremonies might seem, I can't really imagine otherized people being reliably able to access We Are All New Yorkers, or Boston Strong, or God Bless America, even though it was written by an immigrant. Sports is always lauded as being comforting after a tragedy and helping people get on with their lives, especially as I argued in the Mets Mike Piazza episode, because expressing emotion through sports is one of the only options granted men under the constricted realm of conventional masculinity.
And every man behind me did his part to keep the team rolling.
And so getting on with their lives includes slipping back into the familiarity of already existing sports rivalries, especially, for example, for fans of the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox.
You know, sometimes sports seems like it's trivial. It's just an entertainment. And then every once in a while, you're reminded that sports represents something else. And it has the power to bring people together like almost nothing can.
People reorient themselves through regionalism, local color, like the Boys Choir of Harlem or Dunkin' Donuts. This can subsequently be extended from sports. And so can all its built-in martial metaphors, toughness and gamesmanship, comebacks and regeneration, glory and victory, us versus them. The commonplace structural language of sports entertainment can be very attractive to those looking for an understood paradigm to use to justify rivalries and conflicts in political and foreign policy. This loose connection is best seen in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan, when President Bush chose to appear at the 2001 World Series.
United we stand. We stand together in the face of this threat. We will play baseball in the midst of the beginnings of this war.
These are some of the ancient feelings summoned by Tynan's mythic invocations beginning in fall 2001 and continuing in spring 2013. Due to his relocation to Boston after his disgrace in New York, Tynan was a natural choice to sing at commemorative events in the aftermath of the marathon bombing, including playoff games in the spring for the Boston Celtics, the 4th of July 2013 at Fenway Park. And he sang in front of the mayor, the governor, and many members of the police department at the public funeral of one of the people killed in the bombings, Crystal Campbell. Like the Yankees had in 2001, the Red Sox made it to the World Series, and they won, and in November, they held a celebratory parade through Boston, right up to the finish line of the marathon, where the bombs had exploded months earlier, and they placed their World Series trophy there, draped in a Boston Strong jersey, signifying that their victory in the World Series represented the final defeat for the terrorists. And there at the finish line was Ronan Tynan to sing God Bless America.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America.
This capped off the Red Sox narrative arc. The bombing happened at the beginning of the season, and here they were at the end, with the trophy, celebrating their defeat not just of their baseball rivals, but of America's enemies. For me, this physical act, the placing of the World Series trophy on the literal site of a terrorist attack, is the sign of the total merger of senseless tragedies with our sports entertainment corporate institutions, who, it is hard to not conclude, directly profit from their association with the staged, uplifting aftermaths of such disasters. Even if the literal gate receipts or t-shirt revenue are donated to a fund for the victims or for the memorial, the team profits far more than in coin, from association of purpose, from validation of seriousness and social relevance. Sports is presented as social pillar, essential civic activity, mass healing opportunity. Of course, they literally profit too, maybe not quite as blatantly as the makers of Support Our Troops bumper stickers or Boston Strong t-shirts, but probably a lot more substantially and also permanently. Year after year, the association grows and is renewed and re-profited from at every anniversary.
I paid $80 for this ticket. Let's go!
I'd like to close by looking at one final Ronan Tynan performance. On September 11th, 2002, the Yankees invited him back to Yankee Stadium. He sang God Bless America again, and they dedicated a plaque to the memory of 9/11 in Monument Park, home of the team's internal history and reverence for its own icons. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio are all permanently memorialized there. We remember. On September 11th, 2001, despicable acts of terrorism were perpetrated on our country. In tribute to the eternal spirit of the innocent victims of these crimes, and to the selfless courage shown by both public servants and private citizens, we dedicate this plaque. These valiant souls, with unfettered resolve, exemplify the true character of this great nation. Their unity and resilience during this time of distress defined American heroism for future generations. Dedicated by the New York Yankees, September 11th, 2002. This plaque was dedicated in 2002 in expectation of future generations futurely defined by American heroism only a year earlier. It's an act of future shaping as well as historical memorialization. And I would say that what defined American heroism for future generations was not these valiant souls with their selfless courage nor their eternal spirit, but what defined heroism. I don't mean by exemplifying heroism, which is what I think that they meant. I mean defined. That's the perfect word. What defined heroism was organizations like the New York Yankees and performers like Ronan Tynan. And if you read it closely, this is a memorial not to the innocent victims of these crimes, but rather to the selfless courage shown by both public servants and private citizens. Which could mean firefighters, cops, and rescue workers. But it could also just as easily encompass the New York Yankees and other organizations and performers whose unity and resilience during this time of distress, i.e. not the day, but the whole post-9/11 period, defined heroism. And if you read it again, this memorial essentially doubles as a memorial to the Yankees, to Ronan Tynan, their claimed effect and their claimed relevance. It became an annual tradition for the Yankees, Mets, and many other teams far from New York to have annual ceremonies commemorating September 11th. And while it does make sense to memorialize the particular event that we covered in the last episode, in case anyone doubted their insistence on being connected to 9/11, in 2009 the Yankees held another ceremony and erected an additional memorial in the form of 6-foot-tall standing tower sculptures outside their spring training facility in Tampa, Florida, a location with no connection to the attacks or recovery other than its association with the New York Yankees. That Florida stadium is named for the late George Steinbrenner, and under his ownership, the Yankees were already intensely patriotic well before 9/11. They'd had Ronan Tynan on hand to perform at playoff games the year earlier, with no disastrous context, and they'd even had the trained bald eagle at playoff games in 1999 and 2000, and continued to feature that eagle until 2003 when Derek Jeter and Jason Giambi had to duck out of its way. The tragedy allowed this patriotic persuasion embedded in some of our most powerful institutions and personalities to overcome us all. Low-flying American predatory birds have terrorized a lot more people than just baseball players since 9/11. Ronan Tynan was unknown to the general public until this event on September 25th, 2001. His name was even misspelled on the broadcast. Although he's from Ireland, he's tapped into this post-9/11 atmosphere of American patriotism and solemnity as a career move. He sings a patriotic song at a baseball game and then suddenly he's performing at the president's birthday party. A scandal ends his career and then there's a bombing and he's back on the stadium circuit. Now he's a fixture in Boston like he used to be in New York. As recently as January 2014, he sung at the Boston mayoral inauguration. It's like they gave him a reconstruction contract. So let Ronan Tynan stand in for all the organizations, entertainers, and institutions who have profited from 9/11 and other tragedies. You can be sure, whatever the next thing is, that our institutions will be ready for it. And whatever meanings that it might have to you or me or to people directly affected by it, they'll have the ultimate say and they'll define its lasting and historical meanings. And control over future disasters will be taken away from us and we'll have nothing. Not even our tragedies and deaths. And that narrative control will be historiographically used by those same institutions far into the future to reframe their responses to now unforeseen disasters and to continue their continuity of control over our history.
Never Forget Radio is a production of Bookstyle Publications, currently based in West Philadelphia. Music for this episode is by John Holland, Cave Cricket, and Old People. Special thanks to Gatsby, Mordecai, and Rebecca. Please send your sports feelings to Never Forget Radio on iTunes, Facebook, Gmail, Bandcamp, or Tumblr, or Never Forget Pod on Twitter. All of our episodes can be downloaded for free. But if you'd like to support this project, please feel free to donate any amount. Never Forget Radio is going to take a break from sports for a little while, but eventually we'll get to the 2001 World Series, which is when this regionalism was really turned into militaristic patriotism. So if you thought that Boston Strong stuff was ridiculous, listen to this cartoon, New Yorker, from Fox's pregame introduction.
It would be nice for the Bombers to go all the way, but tonight, in the big ballpark in the Bronx, we celebrate not only this beautiful game between baseball's best, but also the world's finest and bravest, the strength of a great city and the unity of this amazing nation. God bless America.
Thank you, and never forget.